Good morning and hello again. Today, more travel restrictions and prospect as Health Emergency Group meets, how the COVID-19 fight is hampered by north-south disparities, how private hospitals will be used following government takeover, and help on the way for nursing homes. Also, when will the shortage of testing material be fixed? We look at the administration of justice in the crisis. Also, science expert Shane Bergen on lab experiments you can do safely at home, and we'll be talking later to Commissioner Phil Hogan on the start of Brexit detailed Brexit talks. Email today sor@rte.ie. Text us on 51551 and you can also tweet at todaysor. Well, as we know, the daily number of new cases of COVID-19 continues to grow at a rate of around 15% in this country, but that will not be enough to contain the spread of the disease, according to the National Public Health Emergency Team, even though it is a lower rate of increase than we might otherwise have expected. Their latest news conference last evening brought a mix of optimism and warning, as attention turns now to what extra measures might be recommended to further flatten that curve. And on that point, Dr. Tony Holohan, Public Health Emergency Team, will this morning be discussing the possibility of new travel restrictions. Here was his response last night when asked about our current restrictions on movement, considering people can freely travel across the north-south border on this island, and also with flights continuing to land from places like London, New York, Paris and Birmingham.
We look at the whole question of travel, both within the country and internationally, and on a continuing basis. And in relation to international travel, there's a series of measures in place. And we know that the footfall through the international borders that now exist onto the island, ship and air transport, we believe, have reduced by over 90%. So we've seen a huge reduction in the amount of travel into the country. We now have measures in place and recommendations that anybody travelling onto the island from overseas subjects themselves to a 14-day self-quarantine period, and we'll keep the whole issue under review. We meet again as the National Public Health Emergency Team tomorrow morning, and the question of measures in relation to travel within the island, travel onto the island, will be again on the agenda.
And that was the government's chief medical advisor, Dr. Tony Holohan, on the line now. Dr. Gabriel Scally, president of the epidemiology and public health at the Royal Society of Medicine in London, also, of course, the man who led that scoping inquiry into cervical check here. Dr. Scally, good morning. You're on the front page of two newspapers this morning, one north of the border, the Irish News, one south of the border, the Irish Times, because you have big concerns about the policy differences between the two jurisdictions. What are those concerns, Dr. Scally?
Well, I'm very grateful to the Irish Times and the Irish News taking this unusual step of allowing me to put a piece in both of the papers. It's great. My concerns are that we've got two different regimes operating in the north and south as far as this outbreak is concerned. That issue about isolation times, you know, if you happen to develop symptoms of the coronavirus in Dundalk, you'll be asked to self-isolate for 14 days. If you develop the same symptoms, exactly the same symptoms, a few miles away in Uri, you'll be asked to isolate for 7 days. The South has an excellent program of testing set up and rolling, despite the difficulties there are in getting reagents. I think the program is up there and it will get back on course and roll on. In the North, they abandoned testing, or at least Whitehall told them to abandon testing, on the 12th or the 13th of March. So there's no community testing going on. So they are fighting this fire blind, as the WHO put it. So these are just some of the big differences, and you mentioned in your lead-in about the problems of travel, and it would be nonsense to have restrictions on people coming off planes in Dublin and not have exactly the same restrictions on people coming off planes in Aldergrove or in Belfast. You know, it's time to, and my piece was really a plea to say, let's put all our histories to the side and let's work out what's best for the people on the island, because we've a big advantage on an island, and we'll squander that advantage if we don't take a unified approach to dealing with this problem.
But do you accept, for instance, what the government is here saying, the Taoiseach yesterday emphasising, there's no question of shutting down the airports or stopping flights into the country?
I don't think that is necessary, but I do think it is absolutely necessary for all of those flights to be met, for the people to be checked over in terms of do they have a temperature at that time, for all of their details to be taken, everyone who comes off and where they're going to in the country, and they can be followed up over the following days and given advice about what to do. So I think all of that stuff, and the same thing should happen at the ferry ports for people coming off the ferries, and all of that stuff can be done. And there are enough empty hotels around the airports where if people do have symptoms and are showing signs of coronavirus infection, that they can be put into isolation, perhaps in the nearby hotels.
Would you go so far as to say, though, that there's little point in the government in this jurisdiction ramping up its measures or tightening its measures unless there's a corresponding tightening in the north?
Well, I think the problem will come when we try to relax some of the restrictions on movement, the social isolation stuff that is in place, both north and south, though even then there are differences. When it's relaxed in the south, as it will be in due course relaxed in the south, we really need good testing right across the country. The testing will need to be top-notch by that time, and so that we can absolutely pounce on any cases that will inevitably pop up. Cases will inevitably pop up, but they need to be found quickly, isolated quickly, and contacts traced, etc. Now, in the north, they don't do community testing, and if they relax their restrictions and cases pop up, they won't know anything about it until those people turn up really seriously ill in hospital. And, of course, there's a huge amount of movement across the border. And we can't have it, surely, that the North removes their restrictions and at one point and then the South at another point, and it's completely out of sync. There really, really needs to be, you know, some harmonisation. North-South harmonisation is in everyone's interest.
Do you think a better approach might be, instead of looking at this thing politically and the North taking its guidance from Westminster, that they maybe think back and to the time of the foot and mouth, where this island was treated as one unit for the purposes of keeping that out?
Oh, surely. I think there are good lessons to be learned from the colleagues in animal public health and the great efforts they made in terms of foot and mouth. Absolutely, there are lessons to be learned. But if you ever need convinced about the necessity of thinking carefully about the advice from Whitehall, in my view, and in the view of many other senior public health people, is seriously flawed. They are ignoring the very strong advice they're getting from the experts in the World Health Organization. They're ignoring the European Centre for Communicable Disease Control advice, and they're going their own way, which they're perfectly entitled to do. But there's no reason, in my view, why the same advice should apply in the North. Health is a devolved power in the North, and they can make up their own minds.
Yes, but the issue,
and there should be a meeting of minds.
As you well know, I think, is that the Northern Ireland's chief medical advisor, Dr. McBride, I think is his name, takes the same view, or has so far taken the same approach as has been taken in Whitehall.
Well, I think that's regrettable, and I think there needs to be some conversations about that. Dr. McBride's not a public health doctor. That's not his background. And I think they need to have a proper discussion and go through all the evidence that there is available to them, and look at the advice from WHO, and look at the advice from the European Centre for Communicable Disease Control, because those are the experts in dealing with outbreaks.
Okay, stay with us if you can, Dr. Skelly.
Of course.
To bring in Fiacha Kelly, Deputy Political Editor of the Irish Times. Fiacha, what do you think is going to happen at this meeting today, the latest one of the National Public Health Emergency Team? It was referenced there by Tony Holohan in that clip we played in the context of looking again at travel restrictions.
Yes, Sean, we understand that that group is meeting around about now and will report to the Department of Health and the Taoiseach later on this afternoon. The Taoiseach himself yesterday flagged that it would be examining additional restrictions on people coming into the island and whether the kind of restrictions could be tightened. Now, myself and my colleague Jennifer Bray were hearing last night that there perhaps would be increased checks at ports of entry, airports, and perhaps some sort of oversight or monitoring of people who arrive into the country after they do. So maybe not too dissimilar of what Dr. Scally was referencing there, that additional checks when you come in and some sort of oversight of people after they arrive checking in on people to ensure that they're adhering to that 14-day self-quarantine period. But speaking to someone last night, they said, look, that self-quarantine period is in place. Most people are respecting it, but we need to look at it and see, is there anything that additional can be done there? Now, it is stressed by people in government that the National Public Health Emergency Team is independent, fiercely guards independence, and its recommendations are not steered by political interference or otherwise. So while these ideas may be out there in the ether, it remains to be seen if the group actually follows through on them. I think, according to people in government, the main focus today is measures regarding nursing homes.
Yeah.
That is concerned about clusters in nursing homes, something they want dealt with first and foremost.
I'll come back to you about the clusters in nursing homes in a few minutes and stay with us if you can, Fiacc. I want to bring in Simon Calder, travel journalist and broadcaster. Simon, we've just been hearing about the situation here in terms of possible travel restrictions. What's been happening elsewhere that you think maybe the government here might look at, or at least its advisors?
Well, I think that there is a great deal of variation in the in the ways that different countries are treating it. Ireland and the UK are pretty much on the same page, looking certainly at departures from Dublin Airport today, far fewer than there are normally. But you can go, for instance, in 45 minutes' time to Amsterdam, then Chicago, New York, Boston, Geneva, Doha in Qatar, Glasgow, Lisbon, Heathrow, Warsaw, a whole range of flights which are still going, which is very much at odds to what is happening the rest of the world. For example, Australia, as from midnight on last Saturday, I understand the rule has changed so that people are now led by either the police or the military. When they step off a plane, they are taken to quarters where they may be hotels, they may be slightly less than hotel comforts, but they will be forced to spend 2 weeks in quarantine before they are allowed to move on. Bolivia, which I think is the most extreme lockdown possibly, you are allowed out once for a maximum of 4 hours per week to go shopping. And the day that you're allowed to go, well, it won't be a Saturday or a Sunday. Monday to Friday, it will depend on the digit with which your national ID card number ends. And many other places are saying you've got to self-quarantine when you arrive. And Italy declare your presence to the authorities and explain where you are going to be. These individual blockades springing up all over the place in combination with extreme lockdowns such as the one now in India, a country of 1.3 billion people.
But of course, one of the issues that's arisen, and it's a reason, I suppose, why, and it's certainly put forward by the government here, why flights are continuing, is that people need to be repatriated all of the time. We had, I think, 150 or more people came back here yesterday from Peru. There's been a lot of controversy where you are in the UK about particularly people stuck in India.
Oh, sure, yes. And I am led by the World Health Organization in these things. I'm not an epidemiologist. I'm not a medical person. If you ever hear me pronouncing on such things, ignore me. But I am listening to the World Health Organization, which says that restricting the movement of people and goods during public health emergencies is ineffective in most situations, and specifically in terms of international flights. They say there may be good reason to do this in the very early stages of an outbreak if your country is completely free of the virus. But once you've got local transmission, basically all bets are off and a flight ban will actually cause social and economic harm. There are good reasons why Dublin and other Irish airports are still connected with the rest of the world, and that is because people are trying to get home. I know you've been covering this a lot on RTE, but people will typically get back to London Heathrow and they have to get back to the Republic from there. And the people who do desperately need to get to places, they might be key workers, they may be needing to see family in distress. Lots of reasons to keep flights going, and it's so interesting to see the way that Ryanair has been transformed into what is effectively a public transport operation, which is taking place because Ryanair understands that there are a lot of people who need to travel from Ireland, particularly to the UK, and they are keeping in a skeleton service of flights. They're not making any money out of it. They're doing it because they kind of think it's needed.
Yes, the furthest thing you would have thought would have been in Michael O'Leary's head, being a public transport operator. Simon, thank you very much indeed. Back to you, Fia Kelly. You were about to tell me what's planned by way of support, extra support for nursing homes.
Yeah, again, Sean, this is matters that were being discussed last night, again, awaiting the conclusion of this meeting. But of particular concern is that people and staff working in nursing homes, if those nursing homes become clusters, may transfer the virus into their community. Apparently that is a concern and a lesson that has been learned from Italy. So things that are in the ether are being discussed, perhaps where offering extra staff to nursing homes. So the HSC might provide extra doctors or nurses who could go into nursing home, who relieve staff who are in there, extra checks on nursing home staff as they go in and out of work, giving them extra personal protective equipment, issues like that. And also perhaps if there is a case in a nursing home, say a resident or a worker in a nursing home confirms positive for the virus, that they may isolate in one of the new facilities that is being procured or acquired by the HSC and get them away from the nursing home setting. So those are the issues that we understand are on the menu for, if you like, of NFET today. And I think that is the main concern of the meeting today. If there are clusters in nursing homes, containing those clusters and ensuring that there isn't a wider spread into the community from them.
Fiac, thank you very much indeed for that update. To come back finally to yourself, Dr. Scally, just I was wondering, just what is the definition of a cluster? Is it just more than two cases or what?
Well, I think it's a place where there are a defined number of infections that have been shown to spread from one person to another within that house or that facility or that geographical area. And I think the nursing home ones are a big problem, and it's a difficult sector anyway because of the staffing is sometimes largely from overseas, often ill paid, badly paid. Often the staff coming from overseas will be housed together in a house. So not just the nursing home, but the house where many of the staff live might be a place for transmission. So I think it's important to get on top of it today.
Okay, just some of the texts we've been getting in. People are confined to homes, yet people are flying in from all places and not being checked. It's so silly, says a caller. Another one, very disappointing for us all here to be trying our best in difficult times to comply and beat this COVID-19. If we continue to have people coming into this country at airports and ports, it defeats the purpose of us all staying at home. Dr. Scally is so right. We need one approach for this island. Just on that point, Gabriel, I mean, you talked about hotels being available around airports. Would you support or recommend the Australian approach we heard about earlier from Simon Calder, that people actually are brought directly to those hotels and effectively forced to quarantine for the fortnight?
Well, that's a really tough position to take. It might be necessary. I think we should start by saying that they do need to be checked when they come off, and we do need all the details, and we do need to be able to contact trace, and we do need to be confident that they will self-isolate. And it depends, of course, where the flight is coming from and where the people have come from originally, because people can get off a flight from London to Dublin and you don't know where they've come from unless you gather all that material. And if people were coming from somewhere where there was a huge number of cases and there were a particular danger, well, then I can see why they should be compulsory quarantined for a period of time. Now, Simon Calder, if I could go back just a little bit, he mentioned the WHO guidance. And he's quite right that restrictions on transport wouldn't be the first thing you would do. And neither was it the first thing that was happened. But now we're in a situation where, and in the south, you are trying so hard to eradicate this virus, to get clamp it down and get rid of it. And the numbers are still manageable. And when you're still in that, what I think is an early phase still, and there is a chance, there is hope and there is a chance of doing this properly. But it has to be on the basis of trying to stop the importation of new cases, in my view.
Dr. Gabriel Scally, President of the Epidemiology and Public Health Association and also Public Health Senior Doctor. Thank you very much indeed for joining us. Thanks as well to Fia Kelly and to Simon Calder. Just another text on this one. I work in a nursing home, staff wearing uniform, going shopping, not sufficient hand washing after smoking breaks, staff going to a local shop for residents, newspapers, etc. in uniform. I'm very worried for the residents. It's too late for talking to government. Should have been done weeks ago. Please don't read out my name. Keep those texts coming, 51551, and emails to todaysor@rte.ie. We'll be looking at the role of the private hospitals, which effectively have been taken over, at least for the next 3 months, by government, what their role will be in this crisis. That's after the break.